This is Brian Cambria with news Wednesday, May 8th, 2013. Colorado Highway 133 over McClure Pass north of Paonia Reservoir is now open to single-lane alternating traffic after a rock slide covered the road on Sunday. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports the highway will be open from 7 a.m. through the day up to 7 p.m. According to the Colorado Department of Transportation, motorists can get through but could encounter up to a two-hour delay depending upon when they arrive at the queue. It's not yet clear if the road is open or closed overnight between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. Stay tuned to KVNF for updates on that as it becomes available. Drilling equipment will be set up in the open lane today in preparation for blasting work. On Thursday, blasting and rock hauling of at least 100 dump truck loads will cause lengthy traffic delays during daylight hours. CDOT hopes to open the roadway fully sometime Friday, depending upon weather conditions and the completion of the work. Paonia Fire Chief Mike Byers and his volunteer crew responded to a fire in a shed belonging to Stahl's Orchards just outside of Paonia about 4 p.m. Monday afternoon. 21 firefighters and 7 trucks were involved in fighting the blaze, which took 5 hours to extinguish. Byers says the fire began when a tractor that had been parked in the shed ignited due to a faulty generator or starter. The shed was used to store fruit packing boxes and, in addition, contained apple wood and what Byers called a small amount, less than 500 pounds, of ammonium sulfate used as fertilizer. Byers said the fertilizer did not ignite. Firefighters brought in a track hoe to pull one side of the building away so they could get to the blaze. A fruit packing building directly adjacent to the shed was saved. Delta County Sheriff Fred McKee said the county used reverse 911 calls within a short radius of the fire to warn neighbors. He said there was no reason to believe the fire was arson. A bill authorizing the creation of a state firefighting air tanker fleet is on its way to the governor. But as KUNC's Nathan Heffel reports, there's no guarantee the fleet will be in the air anytime soon.
The measure passed out of the legislature with little fanfare. In its original form, the bill charged the state with purchasing, maintaining, and flying its own fleet of air tankers at a cost of more than $17 million. But no money has been earmarked to pay for the planes. Democratic Representative Claire Levy of Boulder says creating a fleet with this little study and analysis is a poor idea.
We need to look at whether this is a good use of state funds. And is this the most efficacious way of fighting fire?
Republican Bob Gardner of Colorado Springs, however, says the possibility of not having an adequate air tanker fleet for the wildfire season is why he supported the bill.
I don't want to stand in front of a group of constituents this summer and say, well, we could have done that. We voted no. We didn't vote to do that. We wanted to study it a little longer, think about it some more.
Without funding, the fleet will remain on paper for now. If signed into law by the governor, a new division of the Department of Public Safety will conduct a study on the feasibility of a state-owned fleet. Currently, the national firefighting air tanker fleet stands at around 9 planes. However, new contracts were awarded Monday to add up to 7 new tankers to that fleet. I'm Nathan Heffel at the State Capitol.
This weekend brings the unofficial, or perhaps the official, start of the summer festival season in the North Fork Valley. The 10th annual Hotchkiss Sheep Camp Stock Dog Trials will take place in Hotchkiss Friday through Sunday, May 10th, 11th, and 12th. According to the Delta County Independent, more than 77 dogs from 13 states will be tested during the trials. The judge this year is Emil Ludbeck from Texas. Les Mergelman will announce the trials. The featured artist is James Dawson, whose painting, Born to Do It, will be reproduced on T-shirts and posters for purchase at the trials. The trials will take place on the Hotchkiss Family Pasture on Hotchkiss Avenue, just a block south of Bridge Street, and get started at 8 a.m. on Friday. Admission is $4 on Friday and $5 on Saturday and again on Sunday. A number of other activities are scheduled during the weekend, including the All Roads Lead to Hotchkiss area-wide yard sale all 3 days. On Saturday, there's the Kappa Pi Sorority Dog Trials 5K Walk Run, the Hotchkiss Fire Department Pancake Breakfast, this year featuring locally grown and produced food, and the Ute Trails Car Club Classic Car Show. You can contact the Hotchkiss Chamber of Commerce or check out the current edition of the North Fork Merchant Herald for more specific schedule information. The Denver Post reports that the state Senate gave final approval to set a stoned driving limit on Tuesday. The latest iteration of the proposal, House Bill 1325, now goes to Governor John Hickenlooper, who has said he supports the plan. The bill sets a limit of active THC, the psychoactive chemical in marijuana, that drivers can have in their blood before juries can presume they were too high to drive. Tuesday's 24-11 vote in favor of the measures came without discussion. The bill represented the sixth try in the past 3 years for supporters of a limit. Two separate but identical proposals, a standalone bill and a provision amended into a bill on recreational marijuana regulations, failed earlier this year in Senate committees. Supporters say the limit is needed to stem the rising tide of stoned driving cases in Colorado, especially now that voters have legalized use of marijuana for adults. Opponents of the plan say the science behind the limit is unsettled and that the bill could lead to sober drivers being convicted. Many worried that the bill would unfairly punish medical marijuana patients. The bill does not change anything about how police identify, stop, question, or test drivers. Except in extreme circumstances, drivers would have to consent to have their blood drawn, though they could lose their licenses if they refuse a request for a blood test. The bill's impact is in the courtroom, where it creates a, quote, permissive inference, essentially a nudge to juries that people with more than 5 nanograms of THC per milliliter of blood are stoned. Previous versions of the bill made it an automatic conviction to drive with a THC blood level above that limit. The stoned driving bill was just one of 3 hotly debated measures on marijuana the Senate considered on Tuesday. The Senate gave initial approval to a bill proposing sizable taxes on recreational marijuana. House Bill 1318 would impose a 15% excise tax and a sales tax initially set at 10% on pot. Voters will ultimately need to approve the taxes before they go into effect. The first $40 million generated by the excise tax each year would go to school construction. The sales tax would be used to pay for regulation of marijuana stores. Opponents said the rates were set too high and would encourage marijuana users to keep buying from illegal dealers. The Senate on Tuesday morning also began debating House Bill 1317, a major bill on regulation for recreational marijuana businesses. Among the amendments the Senate adopted were a ban on incorporated marijuana collectives, a ban on mobile marijuana stores, and a prohibition on city governments becoming pot retailers. That last amendment blocks a proposal by Aurora officials that the city run its own pot shops. Citizens for a Healthy Community announced Monday that it is launching a citizen-based air quality sampling project. The project is designed to establish an air quality baseline for the Delta County region by testing for toxic chemicals associated with natural gas drilling. Local residents will carry backpacks containing air sampling devices to collect data over 24-hour periods to determine actual human exposure. CHC is beginning to work with local residents to identify sampling locations so that the first round of sampling can begin in September. The project was developed with input from scientists at the Endocrine Disruption Exchange. This cutting-edge approach to conducting an air baseline project uses backpack air sampling instead of a stationary sampling location. This project will collect air samples to identify if an individual has been exposed to chemicals in the air. Many traditional air sampling projects overlook certain chemicals that can cause serious health effects at very low levels, which sometimes cannot be seen or smelled. CHC will test for these chemicals, called polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, in sampling. Understanding personal exposure to chemicals is important because of the health effects of certain chemicals used in or released by drilling and fracking. Such health effects include harm to the brain and the endocrine and nervous systems, organ damage, and cancer, plus other, quote, symptoms such as burning eyes, rashes, coughs, sore throats, asthma-like effects, nausea, vomiting, headaches, dizziness, tremors, and convulsions, end quote. Concerns in other gas patch communities have informed the design of this project. For example, at the recent rulemaking of the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, commissioners heard from numerous Garfield County and the Front Range residents who have experienced health effects that they believe were caused by airborne pollution sourced from drilling. State officials frequently claim that Colorado has the strongest regulations for oil and gas in the nation, but anecdotally, people say they are still getting sick after drill rigs move in. Currently, drilling in the Delta County region is limited to several wells per year, but the area is facing proposals that could result in hundreds of new wells. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission approved a $150,000 fine on Monday against Antero Resources in connection with a leak from a produced water pipeline that resulted in oily contamination of groundwater and soil near Rifle. The fine was part of a consent agreement reached with Antero. The commission says Antero violated rules on pollution and management of waste in the incident discovered in July 2010. The leak from a faulty weld in a plastic pipe resulted in seeps of a paraffin-like substance in a nearby gravel pit owned by Grant Brothers Construction and caused high levels of benzene, a carcinogen, in the groundwater. The commission said the oil-laden water came from 36 wells on 5 well pads in the Colorado River floodplain. Before the commission acted on Monday, Commissioner Richard Allward of Grand Junction expressed concern about how much time has lapsed since the leak's discovery, saying, quote, "It's now 2013 and we're now finally resolving things," end quote. Commission staff said the delay was because Antero tried several approaches to cleaning it up, finally settling on full excavation, which was completed last September. The state then allowed for another half year of environmental monitoring. Denver-based Antero no longer operates in Colorado, having sold its assets to Houston-based Ursa Resources last November for $325 million. And finally, to repeat our lead, Highway 133 over McClure Pass is reopened, at least during the day, with alternating traffic around the rock slide. Expect delays significant at times as work continues to clear the slide. And this weather note, expect rain today with snow in the mountains and higher valleys, heavy at times with some accumulation before the storm moves out later in the week. Mountain passes over the San Juans are currently snowpacked, with the chain law in effect on Red Mountain, Mullis Divide, and Colbank Pass. Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.